Unit 3. In this interview, a space scientist talks about space war movies, current efforts to pick up signals from other parts of the galaxy, and about attitudes of the people who work in space research projects.
What do you, as a space scientist, think of all the movies about space wars and Star Wars and things like that that we're having these days?
Well, I'm just like you. I enjoy them thoroughly. I don't see a lot of connection with my own work necessarily. For example, when you see the spaceships battling in outer space, they behave like fighter planes, as though they had an atmosphere to fly in. And of course, in space, there is no atmosphere, and they would not be jockeying and jumping back and forth the way they are. Another thing that I find fascinating is the way that they deal with extraterrestrials, or people, if you want to call them, from other planets. I think it tells us more about ourselves as human beings and how we get along with races on this planet, the way we speculate about Mookies and Chewbacca.
Do you think we ever really will encounter life from another planet?
I hope so. I think that would be very good for the race of mankind here on Earth, for us to have contact with.
Are we presently making efforts to contact other species, I guess you'd call them?
Well, I'm not aware of any efforts to send a signal other than a few plaques sent out in orbit. But we're listening all the time. There are antennae that are trying to pick up signals from other parts of the solar system.
Aren't those called radio telescopes?
Yes, right. There's one in Puerto Rico that's quite large.
Do they not presently receive regular kinds of signals from outer space? But those are just from stars or something?
Well, they're listening to signals that are coming in from all over the galaxy, I gather. But there is nothing that can be interpreted as being an intelligent signal coming to us.
I see. They're far more sensitive than optical telescopes, aren't they?
That's right.
They can detect things that we could not possibly see, even with the Mount Palomar telescope.
Well, those particular telescopes, the radio telescopes, are not looking in the visible spectrum. They are looking in radio frequencies. And they listen to frequencies that we couldn't possibly see. But there's something about astronomy and the study of the heavens that really we haven't changed all that much in 400 or 500 years. Half a thousand years ago, the men that looked through telescopes and who thought about the heavens were really philosophers. And when it comes right down to it, the men and women that do that today have to have a bit of that feeling in them too. There are so many things that we don't understand, that we don't know about. We don't even have the language to talk about. And there's something almost a matter of faith.
Yes,
you have to be a philosopher almost.
You must really be a pioneer, I suppose, to be in the field that you're in.
Every day, every week brings something new.
And you have to find new ways to describe the new things.
The language problem is one of our difficulties. We have to coin new words, and we have to get our heads around, so to speak, new concepts, and then try to explain it to people who are also interested.
So in many ways, the problems that you face are quite similar to those faced by Galileo or Copernicus.
Yes, I'd say so. There's a good deal of superstition even today about what should be done in space.
I suppose that is evidenced by the attitude that some of the movies take, at least.
Well, the movies are good, I think, for the space scientist. They may not be totally accurate, but they certainly popularize some of the things that will be possible in the next 50 years, 100 years, 200 years.